I'm happy, very happy to be here to get today and have this opportunity to share with you what God has given me to talk to you this morning. Really, it's amazing because God is good. I have been asking God, because I have been serving the Lord for more than 26 years in my country. And sometimes I have been coming here in the States for pastors' conferences, and I had the time to speak to churches. But since I came here as somebody who is founding a place where he can stay for a while, as the situation was not going well in my country, for 2 years, I had no time to stand before the church and share the word of God. My concern was this time will be the end of my ministry? This is the question I have been asking God. And I called my children, and we had a council with my wife. I told them that I don't think that it is my time to quit from serving the Lord. Instead of staying like this, I prefer to go back to my country and have maybe 1-2 months before I die, before I can be victim, instead of staying, living here without doing nothing. All the children cried. I say, this is what I have to do. And they say, okay, Dad, we are going to pray. And from there, after the prayers, and I prayed, and my wife prayed, I had an invitation from Iowa. There is a family I led to the Lord. They said, we are here. Now we want to be baptized. Can you please come here and baptize and give us a recommendation to go to any church you want us to be members? I say, okay, I'm coming. And I got another invitation from Missouri. We are having a wedding ceremony, and we have no one we know that can help in doing this, because this was an African community who came from Africa. They know me very well, and they ask that I should go there and do that things. And I asked authorization to my job. I say, okay, I want to go for only 3 days. This is why I went to Missouri. I did what they asked me to. I went to the last Sunday. I was in Iowa baptizing that family, and I came back, and I had also a word from pastor said that you want me to share with you the word of God. I say, thank you, Lord, because now you are going to accomplish what you want me to do in this country. So I don't know yet what will happen in the future, but I thank God because he showed me that I can still serve. Now, as we had, pastor asked me just to give a message, something that I have to share with the church. There is this is one of the messages I used to share when I'm called to preach in different churches. I used to read this passage in Matthew chapter 16, from verse 16 to 20. This was Jesus talking. Jesus asked just a simple question, a question of curiosity. He said, verse 13, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philip, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? That was just a curiosity. Because he knew the people. He knew the different religions. He knew the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the whatever, Judaism. He knew everything. And there were some people who were, quote-unquote, declaring and pretending to serve the Lord. He wants to give them, he wants to hear from them what do they have in their heart, if it will be different to what other people, the Judaism and the other people pretending to serve the Lord, are thinking on Jesus Christ. This is why he asked that question. It's not that he didn't know that what they think, but he knew, and he asked. And the answer was, some are saying that you are John the Baptist. Others say, no, you are Elijah and one of the prophets. That was the answer from the people. That was the answer from the people. Nobody said that he was the Son of God. Nobody. They knew that he is carrying the message. He is one of the people who can speak words from the Most High, from God. He said that he's just like one of the prophets. He was like, he's talking like John the Baptist. So people had no idea. Even if he was claiming, he was saying that he was from God, he was the Son of the living God. Even if he was, they were hearing their teaching, but they could not understand that thing. They could not understand that argument, saying that they saw him, some of who could learn his life, they saw he was just born by a Virgin Mary. So he was just a simple man like us. He can be a prophet. He can be John the Baptist. But now Jesus turned to the disciples and asked. He turned to the disciples and asked them. Verse 16. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? People are saying that, but you, what do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know which was the reaction of the other disciples. But Jesus said, Jesus answered to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That was an amazing answer. Blessed you, Peter. Not only that, you got a divine revelation. That was through revelation. Nobody could say that, but you said, God revealed to you that I'm the Son of the living God. It was not from you, from your understanding, from your knowledge, from your flesh. God did. He put in you this divine revelation to know and to answer that I'm the Son of the living God. And now he promised. He gave them the promise. He said, he reveals now his divine mission to this world. After hearing, he was a teacher, a very good, an excellent teacher, before he introduced a new lesson to the students. He's starting by exchanging, and he hide the new lesson, and he start by asking questions to hear, attract the understanding of the students, and asking some questions to the different, and he will go, he has to go to where he wants to go. And from the students, one will reveal the subject, and from there, he will go to the board. We use a blackboard in our country. He will write, now, today we are going to do this. And the student will be, they will be much concerned. They will feel, that they need to hear from this teacher, because what the student have, there is something that the teacher is going to develop from them. This is why Jesus asked. Jesus had this Socratic methods of dealing with people. So he says after saying that my Father revealed from heaven, and verse 18, now that is our subject today, our topic. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That's a new thing. That's a new lesson. Jesus wanted to share with the disciple. Upon this rock, I build my church. The passage of you are Peter, and upon this rock have been a very big controversial or contradiction of people. Some of the preachers are not sticking together on this issue. We have almost two big groups of people, group of preacher. Some says that Jesus, because he said that upon you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build. And they take this context. When Peter says that you are Son of the living God, and he said it was not you, but the revelation from God, which means that Jesus was going to build his church on Peter. Others say, no, it's not like that. He was going to build the church on the rock which is different to Peter. And from there we have two words from Greek, which is Petros, that is a stone, small stone. And Petra, that is a big stone, the rock. So says that no, Jesus said you are Peter, you are Petros, and upon Petra, I will build my church. So the church was built on Petra, not on Petros, because Petros was the material that will be used to be built on the rock, on the Petra. The church is the one which will be built. Oh, the Petros was one of the material God is going to, Jesus was going to use to build his church on. The foundation, who is Jesus Christ, the foundation and the rock, the Petra. So, if you see big religion, congregation, calling quote-unquote Christians, like Roman Catholics, they don't believe that Jesus was going to build the church and different than Peter. They say he was building upon Peter. This is why they started saying that Peter was the first church, the first pope. And from there, because they declared that the pope was infallible. He was without fault. He has the power to open the heaven, to shut, to say, no, you are not going to heaven. This is why they start using things called purgatory. You know, if somebody dies, you can go to have a mass, and the priest will pray and pray and pray, and it will be over. Now he can say, okay, the heaven is now open. This is different to what the Bible is sharing to us. And I want for this moment to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. Somebody who is ready can help me to read those verses so that I can try to show why, because we have to respond to this question, who is Petros, who is Petra, who is going to build the church? Because it says, I will, that Jesus was saying, I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. Why can I say that he was Petra? But we can see from there what the Bible says about the rock and reflecting to Jesus Christ. Somebody can help me, please. Chapter 2, verse 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. So when we go back to this passage of Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9, saying about the living stone, and we are trying to see ecclesia that will be built, ecclesia on the rock, ecclesia and the living stone, how the rock became the stumbling block, why the rock was rejected by the builders. This can send us to church history. We don't have enough time, but we could see when Jesus came, he was not received by his own. He was not received. He came to his own did not receive him. But those who received him, he gave them the power to become Son of God. And those people who received the Lord Jesus, it was only through revelation from God. Because me, from Africa, in a country called the Congo, how could I understand about Jesus Christ who was born in Asia? I never been there. My father, my grandfather was not there. I could not understand their languages, the language that Jesus was talking, Aramaic. We don't know even one word, I don't know. But how come I came to realize, to believe, like Peter, that Jesus was the Son of the living God, so that I may have the gift from him of the eternal life? How? I can't explain. How come somebody from California in the United States came to share the same faith, the same believing with somebody from Africa? That is a mystery. That's God's work. It's not man's work. How come I can, or you can be, one of the member of the body that Jesus was going to build? The church that Jesus was going to build was not like this house here. The church was you and me. He was going to build from California, from Congo, Uvira, from Europe, from Asia. He took the material there and he built his own church. This is what he was going to do. And it says here, ek is live. It takes people from a group, a big group. He called him from there and they put kalao, means call, come from and go somewhere. So he take people from a group by his divine call, and the people responded to the divine call. They came to where he is so that he may use them as the material to put together and make a big, I don't want to tell a big church, but to make a church that he was coming to do. This says, I'm going to build. And say that you are living stone, as verse 5 from 1 Peter. You are living stone. You are not a dead stone, a living stone. And from the living stone, he's going to build a living house, the temple where he will dwell. Him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Father, the Holy Spirit will dwell in this church. This is why I heard from the Bible study in the morning, pastor was sharing us how David wanted to build the temple. Pastor says, David was thinking on building a physical temple, a house where people will come in. But God had in his mind talking about the spiritual temple, the people. He's building the people together to become one thing. Now, we know that God in the Old Testament, he built his nation, Israel. This nation, Israel, was the type of what Jesus was coming to do. He was coming to build the church. He was coming to build the new society, the new things. He was coming to call together people who were in darkness to bring them to the light, because we were lost. We were without hope. We didn't know when. We didn't even think that God was thinking on. But God has me and you in his mind. We were dead, but he wants to give us the life. When I was sharing to the last yesterday, Sunday, to these people, I was to minister to in Iowa. I said, how could you understand? He says, if you confess by your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he died and God resurrected him from the dead, you will have the eternal life. And this eternal life is the gift. God will give you the gift of eternal life. How do you think the goodness of God doing only that, you have a big hope. You have the open door to heaven. How do you think this love? The people were crying. They were crying when they hear that. I said, don't cry. You have to rejoice. Because we had the privilege to be part of the result of what Jesus came to do on this earth. So we have to be happy on that. So Jesus was the rock. Regarding to Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, says that he was the rock. It was not an imagination that people will say. He was just accomplishing, explaining how he was. And we have so many passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, chapter 7 to 35 to 39. All these things shows that he was the rock. And he's the foundation and the chief cornerstone, comparing to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Can you imagine he was the rock and he was the foundation on which we are built on? The church is built on Jesus Christ. This is why he declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Satan and his power tried to fight, tried to combat the church. He tried to make the message to be silenced. But as Tertullian said, the blood of those people who died for their faith had become the seed of the church. All the disciples, except John, were murdered. They died. They were killed in the reason to see, to say that in killing them, their message will not go over. But they didn't. We are there. I was here when I heard a message that I think in Texas, people were gathered in the church and somebody came, start shooting on the Christian. That's too bad. Do you think that people are not going in the church in Texas? They stopped going to church to worship? They're still going. People are going there. The disciples were murdered. But today we have a very big number of faithful preachers. They are preaching day and night. The church is going. And the number of Christians always going. So to say that Jesus has overcome, he said that the gates, the opposition, the persecution will not stop the church to be built. The church will still continue be built all the time. The church is always, people are coming to the church, are joining the church, are receiving the message. And we have the mission to share to the world, to the people who are still in darkness, to show them the way we get to the light, how we came to know Jesus Christ, so that them also could have that mercy to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to be their personal Savior. And from there we will have the same way to heaven. I think it's not a good thing that you are staying in a family and you are not sharing the word of God. You just raise up in the morning, take your Bible, go to church, enjoy singing in the church, and your people are suffering there. They are left behind. You don't want to share to them what you got from the Lord. It's not our mission. Our mission is to proclaim what we have got from the Lord. This is why Peter, the day of Pentecost, when people were confused, so people are speaking in different languages. We can hear them speaking in our own language. How come these people are drunk? They say, listen. Peter raised up. Listen, my brethren. These people can see it's 9 a.m. I don't know the time. But he say it was the morning. And we could not go to have a drink at this time. But this is what God has promised, that in the end of time, this will be that. Remember, the Lord Jesus, the one you crucified, is the one doing this. And start sharing the message. And from that day, the church, which was in the number of 120, became 3,000. So the church was growing, because of the powerful message. So we are on the, we cannot be shaked. The church is unshakable. The physical persecution cannot shake the church. He say, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Nothing can prevail the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus is there the Church of Jesus Christ is built, and the doors are open to the new people to come to join the church. And they cannot join the church because they have to call the pastor or the secretary of the church. Okay, I want to become a member. Write my name down in the list of the members. No. By faith. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. By testifying what is in them. This is what I have. This is the faith who brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you found that the faith he's declaring is the same you have, so is your brother. You have to welcome him. Give him the hand of fellowship. Come and we fellowship together because you are brother. This is the way the church is growing. So, Jesus, the Son of the Living God, was rejected by the so-called builders. The builders, what I call the pretending builders, they said they were building the church. They had the priests, the scribe, and whatever. But when Jesus Christ came, they rejected him. When he said that he is the Son of God, they decided to kill him. All this decision of killing Jesus Christ, that was the result of the gates of hell trying to stop, to prevail against the church. Because Satan knows that what Jesus is going to do. But even so, they were conquered. Jesus came through. And we are who we are now because Jesus conquered. We are what we are because our fellow brothers in Christ who started for the first time, they didn't count their life. They saw the cross and they say, we are only what we want to do, we want to be, so that they can serve as an example. So nothing can stop us to do God's word. We have to be faithful as our Lord Jesus Christ was faithful. He placed us in the church. We want to participate in his mission, accepting to share with others what God has done with us so that they can also come to us. And so we will give good testimony and the church will continue growing. People will know the word of God and they will be having the same blessings that we are having day and night. I'm stopping there because we have no enough time, but only concluding by saying we got what Peter got from God. We received the divine revelation. This is why we had a good confession. And it was not from us, from our work. It was God's work in us. And I thank you for listening to this.